You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 22nd, 2020, will President Trump end up appointing a special counsel to investigate fraud in this election, to investigate Hunter Biden? Now, A.G. Barr said, I see no reason for it, and he's going to leave just before Christmas. And when I say the president appoint, he will get a member of the Justice Department to carry it out if that's what he wants to do. In the meantime, Barr does say that the special counsel John Durham is making good progress in his investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russia probe, now working out of D.C. I don't know if we're ever going to get all that information out before the administration changes. And I fear that we still have many pages that have been redacted and covered up that are not going to be released before if Trump has to leave office, and we're never, never going to see them. And here's something else that you should be concerned about. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer indicating, I don't plan on remaining on the bench the rest of my life. I'm going to retire at some point. He said, I will retire. Hard to know exactly when. Of course, now with Biden coming in, that might, if Biden gets in the Oval Office, that might shape his decision. And Biden certainly would be appointing another liberal jurist very similar to Breyer. That's why the election in Georgia is so important as to who controls the Senate, because anyone appointed by the president has to go, or nominated, I should say, has to be approved by the Senate. And those two Republican seats in Georgia need to stay Republican. The Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Stadium now opening for early voting for Georgia's Fulton County. They're going to open at different times on different days, trying to make, again, another opportunity for folks to vote. And last report, there's 700,000 to 800,000 mail-in ballots already in play, maybe more. Well, after months of stalled negotiations, Congress has finally passed a $900 billion coronavirus relief package. Six Republicans standing firmly against it. Senators Rand Paul, you're going to hear from him later in the next segment. Blackburn of Tennessee, Cruz, Texas, Wisconsin Johnson, Utah Lee, Florida Scott, all standing firmly against it because it got bundled into a $1.4 trillion spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. And in the midst of all of that, there is so much junk inside that bill. When we break it down for you, you're going to sit there and think, how do they do that? Pfizer and Moderna say they're now testing their vaccines to see if they will work against that mutated version found in the UK and other countries. It has not been found yet in the U.S., and they don't really expect it to be here. They don't think it will be, but you got some folks calling for flights from UK to be shut down. In the meantime, the Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar, today rolling up his sleeve, he got the Moderna vaccine, as did Dr. Fauci. Now, that vaccine is administered in two shots, one today and another one in about 3 weeks. As you know, President Biden, President-elect Biden, shame on me for saying that, President-elect Joe Biden, if you want to call him that, got his vaccine yesterday and, of course, took the time to urge Americans, don't travel during the holidays. Oh, U.S. Surgeon General Adams is asking L.A. Lakers star LeBron James to take the vaccine in public to lead by example. Senator Rand Paul is also saying it could be inappropriate for him to get the vaccine before frontline health care workers and the elderly, because there are members of Congress getting it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got it. And when she was criticized by other members of her squad, she said, well, it's a matter of being able to govern and national security planning, so it's a good idea. So she got it. And yet, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota was very upset with her and said, you and other lawmakers, including me, are not more important than frontline workers. That raises a question for a lot of us at some point. Because if we're talking about giving the vaccine in the beginning to essentials, the question once again surfaces, are members of Congress really essential? Yeah, you know, you got your answer. I hear you out there. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll begin to break down this massive package. And before we're wrapped, you'll hear Rand Paul go absolutely rand.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand, and Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The bottom line is they wanted $3 trillion for the pandemic. Last year, we wound up with $900 billion. You could have gotten this package in July. Mitch McConnell's right about that. They refused to even talk to us before the election because they thought a relief package would help President Trump. If you think this bill is bad, lose Georgia and see what happens.
There's your warning shot across the bow. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican South Carolina, pointing out again this thing that got, this monstrosity that got passed last night could have been done back in July, but the Democrats didn't really want to negotiate. Because I told you, they want you to suffer. We want you to suffer. We want you to be so upset at Trump when you go to the polls, you'll vote him out. Did that have any effect on the voting? Could have. But now we've got $900 billion COVID relief wrapped into an omnibus spending bill to keep the government operating. And this is a $1.4 trillion event. And the only way to get the $900 billion in COVID relief in was to tie it into this other piece. So now you got a $1.4 trillion government spending measure. Now, the actual COVID money is going to supposedly help millions of out-of-work Americans. They're going to get a second $600 stimulus check for individuals, and that includes children. But you cannot forget, we wouldn't have to be sending out these $600 stimulus checks if we'd opened up the country more than what we have. We have basically put people out of work, and yeah, some of them might really need it. But then again, this is just going out. And whether or not you need it, you might get it. Now, who wants to turn down free money? In fact, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day, and he said they got their $1,200 check because they met the criteria. And, of course, they didn't apply for it, just showed up in the mail. And he said, we quickly turned it over to charity. We didn't need it. I know many people have done the same thing. It's yours to do what you want with, but the point being, there is no clarification. It's only based upon what income level you reported the previous year to if you fall under a certain line of this is the line and no more. Now, I want to say it's $150,000. I could be off on that. But there's no real concern about do you still have a job? Do you have a home? Do you have equity in the home or anything else like that? They're just going to send it out. Now, that's just throwing money up in the air. Now, Rand Paul absolutely went ballistic last night on the Senate floor talking about how bad this thing is, basically amounting to printing money. Well, we do not need to be doing that. I want you to hear him before we wrap up this hour. And he's not the only one that's speaking out against it. As I mentioned in news and commentary a moment ago, you've got Senators Cruz of Texas, Blackburn of Tennessee, Johnson of Wisconsin, Lee of Utah, Scott of Florida, all standing firmly against it because it got thrown in with that $1.4 trillion spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. They criticize the size of the legislation, the dollar amount, the page count. Yeah, 6,000 pages. 6,000 pages. And they did not read it before it got passed, I will guarantee you. It's going to be back to what Nancy Pelosi had said about the Obamacare package. We'll know what's in it after we pass it. And even some Democrats were upset that they couldn't see it before then. AOC even complained, we're not getting a chance to read this thing. They were not happy at all. Then Nancy Pelosi scheduled a vote just hours after they were delivered this nearly 6,000-page spending bill. All right, I stand corrected. It's not 6,000, it's 5,593. Can you read that? Well, Chip Roy, Republican of Texas congressman, said 5,600 pages, votes allegedly in 6 hours. He said neither Democrats nor Republicans should vote for this nonsense, should be partisan rejection of this absurdity. Tennessee Congressman Mark Green, another Republican, said, sorry, Speaker Pelosi, I'd actually like to read legislation before I cast my vote. It's going to take more than 6 hours to go through it. Why was it delayed, by the way, the text? Why did it take so many hours to get out? They are claiming computer mistakes, computer errors. Ooh, I've heard that reference some elections lately. And even our darling Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said Americans, quote, deserve better. She said it's not good enough to hear about what's in the bill. Members of Congress need to read and see the bills we're expected to vote on. I know it's controversial, and I get in trouble for sharing things like this, but the people of the country deserve to know they deserve better. I'm going to have to give her applause and way to say. Wait, good, good, good. I'm glad she did. But this push through and the amount of money and how it's being spent, Graham is again saying if Georgia goes to the Democrats in this special election January 5 for the Senate, if the Democrats hold control of the Senate, you're going to see a lot more of this kind of stuff. So what's in this thing? Let me go through some of this. Some of these things that are broken out, they're strange. Let me put it that way. The country of Jordan. Here we've got many in this nation, Democrats, saying we don't need any money for building our border wall. We need no border security. We don't need a border. And yet part of this omnibus bill includes $500,000 to assist the government of Jordan to enhance security along its borders. Yeah. And $250 million in taxpayer money for countries of Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman for enhanced border security. Not our borders, but those borders. Then we've got $170 million to Vietnam, unspecified funds to continue supporting not-for-profit institutions of higher education in Afghanistan. Almost $200 million to Bangladesh, $130 million to Nepal for development and democracy programs. Pakistan, $15 million. That's nothing but $15 million for that. And also $15 million for democracy programs and $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan. Help people understand genders, I guess, and preach it in Pakistan. Sri Lanka, $15 million for, quote, the refurbishing of a high-endurance cutter. That's a patrol boat. $15 million. $500 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama to address key factors contributing to the migration of minors coming to the U.S. You think that's going to stop them from coming? No. And do you think the money's even going to get to the people that need it? No. Why am I asking my questions answering you? I know you already know the answer, and I do too. $33 million for democracy programs for Venezuela. Yeah, I'm sure that'll get far, won't it? Oh, and somebody said, did you see what they're giving Georgia? I said, what? He said, look at that bill. There's $132 million for assisting Georgia. He said, I told you there's voter fraud. Voter fraud right there, $130. Well, I said, wait. This is not the state of Georgia. It's the country of Georgia. But I'd still question this. I thought this bill was to help Americans. And why we're spending all that money on all of these, I really could not begin to explain. I don't think anybody can. Part of it includes $65 million to conserve the Pacific salmon and steelhead populations. Well, that's an environmental issue on fishermen and wildlife. They all like that. I understand that. But what they did, they took a crisis like the Democrats would do. We got a crisis. We don't want the government shut down. Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe I do want it shut down. I think we'd work a little bit better without it for a while. So we got to keep it from being shut down. So we got to come up with this omnibus bill. And if you want COVID relief, you got to go along with this. We'll put it all together. I remind you that President Trump had said back in October to get money to citizens right now in October, send me a clean bill. In other words, don't send me everything attached to it like I just read through for you. And there's more. I mean, some of the pork is unbelievable. But aside from that, he said, send me a clean bill and we'll get it through. But they didn't want to, because they wanted you to suffer. Let me give you some other examples that we've got in here. I mean, again, we're talking about this coronavirus relief bill with the intent to help Americans and small business as we deal with coronavirus. There's a $900 billion piece. I mean, that's the COVID relief bill. But again, it's all put in with the $1.4 trillion government spending bill. So we got a total of $2.3 trillion. And inside of that, the things I just listed for you, also helping Hollywood. Well, sure, why not? Look how many legislators we have out of California, how many representatives they have. But I want to point this out to you. They are saying that this was added, attributing it to Republican Senator Tillis, Republican of North Carolina. It would protect Lawful Streaming Act. That's what it's called, Protecting Lawful Streaming Act. The idea is to give Hollywood a way to make streaming for commercial profit a felony with a punishment of up to 10 years in prison. And somehow or another, they got Senator Tillis out of North Carolina, Republican, to sign on with it. In addition to all of that, we've got climate change referenced multiple times in the same bill. No surprise, right? And there's even a piece where Congress would create a committee to regulate horses used for racing, to prevent anyone from injecting them with performance-enhancing drugs. And they're going to give money to the arts, of course. And we're going to spend money on a public service announcement to prevent teenagers from drinking underage and having sex. That is part of that omnibus bill. And still, there's one that will teach Americans how to properly store flammable liquids. You need to spend money doing this kind of stuff. I know Quentin looked at me and said, you're not going to say that word, do you? Do I need to hit the button? And I stopped. I got close. And, of course, there is funding for public media outlets, including those outside the U.S. Now, if they want my support, they could send funding to this program. I'd be glad to take it. And I would do the biggest flip-flop you guys have ever seen. I would be on here praising Pelosi and going on and on and on. No, I'm not going to sell out for a few pieces of silver like that. But what we've seen in the process is they were putting this together, trying to say, oh, we're going to help the American people. We're going to help COVID. Give them a $600 check. That's not going to really make that much. Open businesses, that's what you do. Senator Graham is again saying what we saw just happen. Well, it's behind-the-scenes stuff.
So this is sausage-making, but the Democrats have a say. They run the House, and if they ever get the House, the Senate, and the White House, it will be a financial disaster for this country. So vote in Georgia.
That's right. All of that stuff is wrapped into supposedly helping you with COVID. If they win the Senate in Georgia and they have the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, you'll never get ahead again. And wherever you are, you're going to take a big fall. Whatever you got, we'll divvy up with everyone else. That's the way we do it. Come back. We're going to start letting Rand Paul preach as to why this money is just outlandish. Stand by.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The economic damage from this pandemic is not the reason for this runaway spending. This spending's been going on for decades. Every year, even before we get to all the extra COVID-free money, we've been spending $1 trillion we don't have. Today's money is gone. So Congress is spending tomorrow's money. The spending chart is a red line of red ink that goes on forever. When we talk about spending tomorrow's money, it's not just the money that we need next month. It's the money we might need in a decade. It's the money we will need in 1, 2, 3 generations from now. For national defense, for infrastructure. This is the money that your children and your grandchildren will pay back with interest.
We've heard that before, haven't we? And conservative Americans, for the most part, have said we need fiscal responsibility. The government needs to live within its means, as I have to with my family. And, of course, we get a crisis. Well, then things have to change. But then what happens is many start coming in under the door, over the transom, through a crack in the window, through the ventilation, to get their hands on the money and get their share and their part. That was Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, Republican. You're going to hear more from him coming up in the next segment. But he's making it very clear again. We don't have this money, but yet they're jumping in and doing it. When you start looking again at how this money is being spent to some extent, I gave you some of the ideas. But let me go back through some of it for you, because this stuff is... Keep in mind, the whole idea was getting COVID relief money out. And now they've made it tied to this omnibus bill to keep us from closing the government down. So now $900 billion is for COVID relief. But then you've got all kinds of other things thrown in with this $1.4 trillion omnibus bill. If I read this list, don't lose control of your car. Billions promote clean energy, such as wind and solar power. No surprise there, right? You could expect that. In addition to doing that, $26 million for the Kennedy Center for Arts, $26 million. $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan, $300 million for fisheries, $1.5 million for the Appropriations Committee, Office of Diversity and Inclusion, $1.5 million. Bill mandating new hiring measures to ensure diversity in the intel community. Funds to investigate the 1908 Springfield race riot. $193 million so federal HIV and AIDS workers stationed abroad can buy new cars. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act to regulate performance-enhancing drugs in horse racing. Funds for a museum offering exhibits on the life, art, and history of women. How to store flammable liquids near an open flame. Going to spend money on that. That's what they are wanting to do. And make note of this. While we're looking at that, President-elect Joe Biden just smiling over this 6,000-page coronavirus relief and spending bill and said, yeah, we're going to call for more money in the new year. More money. You voted for him. You should have known that was coming. Rand Paul, when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The monster spending bill presented today is not just a deficits don't matter disaster. It is everything Republicans say they don't believe in. This bill is free money for everyone. Proponents don't care if you're fully employed or own your own house or own your own business. Free money for everyone, they cry.
That is, again, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, speaking out against, as he said, the monstrous bill. Monstrous in the size of it, but the money, and also the size of number of pages it took to explain it and lay it all out. Almost 6,000 pages. Rand Paul said just trying to read this thing, you'd have to spend 7 hours, or 77 hours, to read it completely, he said. And we're supposed to vote on it 6 or 7 hours after we got it. And as I said earlier, even Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says not good enough to hear what's in the bill. We need to read it before we vote on it. A voice of reason inside the Democrat Party. I cannot believe I said that. But that's, I would agree with her. You got Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona. This is another bill we had to pass before the American people discover all the goodies that special interests jammed into it over the last week. It started out as to what can we do to get relief to Americans suffering because of COVID. And in that, $1,200 went out last time. They weren't going to be able to do it this time, so $600. And extending some welfare benefits, that's a plus. But if you just let them open their business, and they wouldn't have to be on welfare, let them open their business. But the attitude, many on the left, is one, we don't want to do anything that will make Trump look good on the way out. I mean, again, this could have been done back in October. In October, Trump said, just send me a clean bill. We'll get the money out right now to the people who need it. But they didn't want to do that. Now, when we talk about additional spending, and I'm going to agree with Rand Paul, and others do as well, but I do go back to that many were complaining shortly after Trump got in that he was expanding the deficit instead of trimming it and shutting it down. And I said, you know, I'm going to kind of give him a pass at this point. If he wants to get more military spending, he's working some deals and trying to do that. It's what he does. I don't want to see more spent when we don't have it, but I went along with it. I guess they're trying to use the same sales pitch this time around. But in addition to Paul, Senator Blackburn of Tennessee, Cruz of Texas, Johnson of Wisconsin, Lee of Utah, Scott of Florida, all standing firmly against it because of the dollar amount and, as I said, the bill's page count. But the dollar amount, the whole idea was come up with a $900 billion coronavirus relief package, and it was decided to tie it. The only way it's going to get passed, you got to tie it to the $1.4 trillion catch-all spending bill to keep the government operating and throw in every little pork piece you can. And they did. They did. So it came down to free money, Rand Paul.
If free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it?
Perfect point, right? If you can do it, well then, why not go ahead and do it? I told you earlier that Joe Biden is already smiling about this and talking about more spending in the coming year. Democrats held back from passing a coronavirus relief bill before the election because they did not want to help Donald Trump. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi pretty much admitted it when she was asked why she was willing to accept less spending now than she demanded before. She said, well, we're going to have a new president. That tells you everything, doesn't it? It was all politics. The American people paid the price then. And now Biden and his party hope to pass even more spending next year. And including funding blue states and local governments. The Republicans did put their foot down on that. Say, we're not going to allow money to go in to help support and build up these blue states and local governments. So the COVID relief bill does not have anything in there for them. While they're crying, we're suffering. We're losing tax revenue. We're suffering in our states and our government. Well, you guys actually made your own suffering. You did it yourself. Now we're supposed to bail you out. The economy itself is suffering. While it had been cracking at a fast speed, I mean enormous record numbers, before COVID came into our nation. And now it's darn near upside down. Again, Senator Rand Paul.
To so-called conservatives who are quick to identify the socialism of Democrats, if you vote for this spending monstrosity, you are no better. When you vote to pass out free money, you lose your soul and you abandon forever any semblance of moral or fiscal integrity.
All right, let me stop it there because that point, you abandon your fiscal soul if you're just going to roll over and sell out all the time. I don't always agree with Rand Paul. I don't always agree with Trump either. I don't always agree with any politician. But when the bell rings and it sounds true and clear, that I go for. And when our economy was doing so well, and this is a perfect storm just in time for the Democrats in the election, in addition to getting a reason to go into massive mail-in balloting, COVID being used to lock down our nation. Draconian laws that, yes, there might be reason for some reasonable effort, but in the beginning we weren't sure. That's understandable, but now we are, and we continue. And the economy is suffering, so what do you think is going to be the next step? Here's Rand Paul again.
How bad is our fiscal situation? Well, the federal government brought in $3.3 trillion last year and spent $6.6 trillion. The deficit last year, a record-busting $3.3 trillion. If you're looking for more COVID bailout money, we don't have any. The coffers are bare. We have no rainy day fund. We have no savings account. Congress has spent all the money long ago.
those numbers he cited, we took in $3.3 billion. We spent $6.6 billion. Our deficit now at $3.3 trillion. And now all this money going out, will it actually help or not? When you go through all the things that were on that list I told you, not likely. And Biden is all about getting more money, and more money. And they're even coming back to the idea of putting earmarks in again. That was the way for Congress members to attach some pet projects to bills to get them to go ahead and vote for it. You heard Rand Paul earlier talk about don't blame COVID. I think it's worth hearing again.
The economic damage from this pandemic is not the reason for this runaway spending. This spending's been going on for decades. Every year, even before we get to all the extra COVID-free money, we've been spending $1 trillion we don't have. Today's money is gone. So Congress is spending tomorrow's money. The spending chart is a red line of red ink that goes on forever. When we talk about spending tomorrow's money, it's not just the money that we need next month. It's the money we might need in a decade. It's the money we will need in one, two, three generations from now. For national defense, for infrastructure. This is the money that your children and your grandchildren will pay back with interest.
And if Biden is in office, and he's got the House of Representatives on his side, obviously, and if he gets a Senate, it is very clear we're going to continue. We're going to continue this way. Senator Rand Paul, again, a warning shot across the bow.
Make the hard decisions now. We can't keep pretending that more debt is a sustainable policy course. Leadership is not passing on the problem to someone who can't protest. Leadership is making the hard choices now. This is what we have to do. I will oppose this new debt, and I will continue to sound the alarm until we change our course. Our country can be saved. We can survive this if we pull together, but adding more debt is a mistake. It is not the solution, and we should resist it.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri did vote for it. He said, I'm doing it only because it's a way to get money into the hands of some people. So there's dealing and suffering, and what do you do? I mean, you're trying to help, and yet you're stuck with this. And for those who believe that the state is the answer, you're going to have, if it goes forward, a Biden presidency or Harris presidency, and it's going to give you everything you want. Not really. Not really. So let's look at something a little bit brighter, like the Bethlehem Star, when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a piece written by experts at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in California, the Institute of Technology. And they believe, and they say we can determine that intelligent life, not talking about members of Congress. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I take it back. That intelligent life might have emerged 8 billion years after the Milky Way was formed. In fact, while they can't say for sure, extraterrestrial civilizations, as we would call them, existed, it appears the Milky Way could be full of them, though many are dead at this point. And researchers are saying we cannot assume a low probability of annihilation. It is possible that intelligent life elsewhere in the galaxy is still too young to be observed by us. Therefore, our findings can imply that intelligent life may be common in the galaxy, but is still young, supporting the optimistic aspect for the practice of searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. I think we need to find intelligence on this earth first, and that's been harder and harder lately. They were looking at if some planets might be habitable in the way we think of it, some 13,000 light years from the center of the Milky Way. And they think it's possible that maybe they killed themselves off. So maybe they weren't so intelligent. Or maybe this also is suggesting, again, trying to jump in on the global warming and destruction of our planet. So did you see the Bethlehem Star last night? I wanted to make sure I saw it. Now, the last time I saw it, it was at Galileo's time, about 800 years ago. So this would be my you're right, I didn't. But I did last night. And, in fact, I'm on the phone to my daughter. I said, have you gone out and look? I'm driving. I'm kind of looking back over my shoulder. But I think I see it's very bright. It's very bright. She said, well, I looked out earlier and said, no, I said, it's extremely bright. She said, it's really more west. I said, actually, the way I turn on the highway, it looks like it's coming closer, but I'm sure I'm just turning, obviously. Never mind. I see an aviation red and green light flashing. That was a plane coming in for landing. But I did see it later. I wanted to make sure I did. And it is available again tonight. Now, this is Jupiter and Saturn coming very close together. And you should be able to see it again tonight and maybe through the rest of the week. But apparently as it gets deeper in the week, you're going to have to look fast because it'll disappear quickly. Called the Bethlehem Star because, as you know, the Gospel of Matthew talks about the three wise men following the star to Jerusalem and the shepherds on the hill. Everybody's wondering, well, what was that? Well, if they're looking for, quote, a scientific explanation, not biblical, this could have been that kind of thing where at that point, on that date, because it apparently did happen in the same month as we now observe Christ's birth, and they're saying that might be an explanation. That's why they're calling it the Bethlehem Star. But they are not sure, obviously. A lot of it has to do with just faith. And according to one of the researchers, said actually if the wise men were following what we're identifying or suggesting, they probably would have ended up walking in a circle because you can't follow a star from Baghdad to Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They don't just sit in the sky. Well, we all know that. But maybe they saw it and struck a path. Who knows? I mean, there are a lot of things we will never know. It's very clear in the Bible that there are things that we will never know or understand because we're just man. And yet I kind of like the idea, especially as we go into the Christmas season, to think of the Bethlehem Star and what it means to Christianity. And it's not just gifts and a guy, a big jolly guy in a red and white suit, any more than Hanukkah is just giving gifts. Deeper meanings exist for those two religions and others. But I'm glad I got out and saw it last night. If you missed it again, the sky should be clear in most of the nation tonight. You should be able to see it. Now, normally, you look, they say, pretty much southwest. It was kind of high in the sky when I saw it last night, when I actually saw it, not the plane, but I saw it. And again, you kind of feel the connection like, is this what they saw 2,000 plus years ago? It does make you feel kind of small, doesn't it? Which we are. Not only in the universe, but in God's world. We're in that season. And if you didn't see it, again, I encourage you, maybe tonight, try to do it. Get your kids to see it. I think the last I saw it will show up again like this for another 60, 80 years, a little bit sooner than the last sighting of 800 years ago. Well, of course, we're ready for another program tomorrow already, working on some things, booking some things for you. Let your friends and neighbors know we're here, will you? We will be back starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And I appreciate your support. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.